from the Mercy One Studio.
Making it personal with Bishop William Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. On today's show, we're visiting with sports commentator Gary Dolphin, better known as the voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Gary is a fellow Catholic, and he and Bishop Johnson have been friends for a long time. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on the Bishop's mind.
Well, good morning, Kelly. Yeah, and here we are in the O Antiphon days, so that means Christmas is fast upon us, mm-hmm. and Advent is reaching its big culmination, although the weather doesn't seem to kind of create that kind of atmosphere,
right.
kind of balmy here, you know, like Miami and Iowa, you
That's
know,
right.
and things as we arrive at the winter solstice. So, but our faith kind of orients us to all that we're about. I was really pleased to be with the folks at St. Luke's in Ankeny last weekend. We installed Father Ken Halber as the pastor. He's been there 6 months. But I think this is kind of a rite that shows the solidarity with the bishop and the priests, you know, kind of the extension of the bishop's ministry. So Father Ken and the folks there are doing a great job as they continue to, you know, plant that seed of faith on the west side of Ankeny as well. We know there's lots of holiday concerts. Some are more sacred than others these days. The lessons and carols that will take place at the cathedral this Sunday at 3 p.m., if people are looking for an opportunity maybe to claim that kind of sacred quiet, but also lift up their souls in that particular way. But I know a lot of people are finding their peace in the Sacrament of Reconciliation early in Advent. I was fortunate to be one of our local parishes. I think that's where priests really feel like they're being used by God as instruments of his mercy. And I hope people have availed themselves of the chance to go to confession, reconciliation. And if for some reason that doesn't happen in the days before Christmas and it's not just trying to get that shiny, bright feeling, but that maybe after Christmas, you know, the whole the season afterwards, we continue to give a gift to God of our trust in Him, and we give a gift to ourselves as we experience that peace from the Prince of Peace and all those relationships in our lives that we're trying to make ever more whole in that way. And so I know Father John Bertogli at the cathedral said he's experiencing that more people than ever are coming to confessions this year. So I hope that's a phenomenon that spreads throughout the diocese, even across the Missouri River into Nebraska, and our good folks listening to us on Spirit Radio and all that we're about. I was with some of our young people this past Wednesday night, St. Francis of Assisi. They had invited me a couple months ago to be with their middle school religious ed program, the EDGE program, which seems like pretty dynamic. It's kind of the precursor to Life Teen and things, and had some good engagement. But there were two questions that kind of left me, you know. One of them was simply, what's my favorite Christmas movie, you know? And, you know, there's lots of Christmas movies. So, It's a Wonderful Life, Love Actually, you know, and Bill Nighy and that. But, of course, the classic one is A Christmas Story, right?
You know,
the timeless one that'll probably run for 20 hours, you know, or more
right.
during the Christmas time with Ralphie and so many great lines there, the late Darren McGavin, the old man Parker, and all that were there. So, so Kelly, if I made, before the show's over, double dog dare you to do something, but, you know, your tongue's not going to freeze to anything
oh,
that
right.
we would have as well. The other question that kind of caught me was, beyond faith personalities, the saints, who might be some of my heroes? And that really was something I've been continuing to reflect upon. And I think about maybe a couple French guys, Jean Vanier, who just died this past April, who formed the Communities for the Disabled, the art communities, and Faith and Light movement. And so I think that's a beautiful thing. And then Jerome Lejeune, who was the one who, French geneticist, discovered trisomy 21 as the cause of Down syndrome, and was a real champion of life. So there are some too as well. But as I continue to think about it, you know, what are some more local heroes? And I continue to be, as a boy growing up, Robert D. Ray was our governor here in Iowa. And I just think he kind of was a model of civility and decency. He would allow, you know, a worthy cause to claim him beyond partisan calls. And so, again, his openness to receiving refugees and immigrants here into Iowa, I think, really kind of established Iowa as a place of legacy known around the world for its goodness. And then, of course, Norman Borlaug, know, the World Peace, you know, Nobel Peace Prize for his work as a plant geneticist and all that he did there. And then I'd have to tuck in as a Loyal Cyclone before we get Gary on here, Jack Trice and his noble testimony the night before he was killed in the Minnesota game in the early 20th century. So we could fit some women in there, but those would be three names that come to mind.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. On our return, we'll welcome Gary Dolphin, the voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes and longtime friend of Bishop Johnson. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Thank you, Blessment International, for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Everyone lives their life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How we use that time directly affects if our life will leave a significant impact or not. Each year, Blessment International leads Central Iowans on a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmentinternational.org. That's blessmentinternational.org.
On behalf of the InterVisions Healthcare family, we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. At our clinic, birthdays are an important milestone which we celebrate. Since our doors opened in 2011, nearly 900 at-risk mothers facing an unplanned pregnancy have chosen life. This Christmas season, join us in thanking God for the joyful blessings and the great work He's doing at InterVisions Healthcare. For more information about our second clinic on the South Side, visit ivhcare.org.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. On today's show, we're visiting with Gary Dolphin, sports commentator and voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Gary is a fellow Catholic and has known Bishop Johnson for a long time.
Yeah, and I think we're trying to get in touch with Gary as he rolls across the upper Midwest here. I think he's with the Hawkeye team bus making his way to Cincinnati as the Hawkeyes will play the Bearcats. So we're trying to establish that connection and hope that goes well. But it's maybe kind of an Advent show in a way. You know, we think about the Isaiah and the great prophecies that the wolf will lie down with the lamb and all these kind of the great peace that prevails among all nature. And so now we have a cyclone grazing with a Hawkeye, you know, in this way. So, you know, all things transcended here in the season of peace. So we're really happy to have Gary Dolphin with us. And Gary, I understand you're in transit today.
Well, we're just getting on the bus, Bishop, but of course I can always make room for you. But if you hear those reverse sirens going off here, you know, we're backing up to load up and get on the road to Chicago.
Don't be distracted. We don't want you to be roadkill, all right? You know.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, there's a lot of traffic out here, but I don't think I'll be roadkill today.
Okay. And I'm sure you have your valet putting your bag on for you. Right?
Yeah, sure. I have my staff. No, Bobby or Eddie Podolak would not be part of that group.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we've known each other. I think we first made acquaintance when I was a young associate at Resurrection Parish in Dubuque. And, you know, I think, you know, I've just kind of noticed you, you know, one who is not only a man with a high public profile, but a man of faith as well. And so I guess, you know, you've kind of been one who's always found time to be with the Lord and kind of celebrate, not shining a light on yourself or boasting, but that's kind of woven into your daily life.
I appreciate that. I learned, you know, growing up in a small town, Iowa, Cascade, with six other brothers and sisters and wonderful parents. Our Catholic faith was very important to us. You know, did all the normal routine that you did in grade school. I'm sure older boy helped out father wherever you could. And my dad died at a very young age, at 36. Mm. And then mom was left to raise seven hoodlums. I was the oldest of seven, and youngest brother is about 12 years my junior. And so we had four boys, three girls, and we all pitched in and helped out. And one thing I vividly remember after Dad died suddenly, heart issues, was a Catholic Charity showing up at our front door a day or two after after his passing with bags of groceries and, you know, used clothing. And so I learned at an early age how valuable people and friends are and relatives, and surround yourself with good people. And that just doesn't happen. I know the good Lord is right there on our shoulders most of the time, and if we need him, he's there all the time. And so I made that a priority from age 12 or 13 to make sure I give back not only to the community but to our Savior.
Amen, amen. And you know, in this season of Advent, we know a lot of our people of faith are really reaching out to make sure that those bags show up at the right doorsteps. It's the season as well. So
indeed.
But as the oldest child, you know, that may be unusual then with receiving some clothes and things, because oldest children usually we don't wear hand-me-downs. We get the new stuff, right, and then they pass it on to others.
That's exactly right. I guess I was so flabbergasted when I saw all these wonderful people bringing us help in terms of material goods. I didn't give that much thought, but you're exactly right. And, you know, when you're in a family of seven kids, hand-me-downs are just, at least growing up in the 60s and 70s, hand-me-downs were the normal thing, because once my younger brother grew big enough, then I'd give him my clothes. There wasn't any for me, so I got all the new stuff. You're right, Father. I started it out, and my oldest sister got all the new stuff, and we handed it down. We got a lot of sour looks from our younger brothers and sisters, but it all worked out.
Your sisters weren't really interested in any of your shirts or jeans or anything, right? No. Yeah, well, you know, and then my brothers all grew taller than me, so I get hand-me-ups now for my non-clerical clothes, you know, my non-clerical stuff, you know. At least I'm not quite as conspicuous. You know, you can usually tell when a priest dresses in regular civvies,
doesn't quite match. Your garb is a little different these days now.
Yeah,
so,
it is. There's more apparel here.
more layers.
Yeah. I kind of have to consciously go through this, you know, in the sacristy. Now, what did I leave out? So that's good. But you know that you would call me Father Bill, Gary. That works for me. So that's good. But you're generous, also. As I came to know you in the community, obviously you had a day job, a corporate job, but in addition to being the voice of the Hawkeyes, but you lent that voice of yours and your public presence to so many worthy things, you know. And it didn't seem like people had to kind of beat your door down. You were just always there. I know. With hospice and Hills and Dales and some organizations like that up in Northeast Iowa. Is that just kind of part of your spirituality, or, you know, is it?
It is. I think, I've long felt, well, my entire life, I felt that, and I go back to, the tough times, if you call them that, that we had growing up, fatherless, and my mom suffered greatly with Alzheimer's and dementia in her later years. She lived a good life, a good 88 years, and she just passed a couple years ago. I had a brother killed in a car accident 30 years ago, and I've learned that, you know, through our tragedies in the Dolphin household, people were always there to help, and that left a lasting impression on me. Obviously, the Catholic Church was right at the forefront, little St. Martin's Parish in Cascade, and of course, in those days, we had a pastor and we had an associate or two. Every parish did. But that was very important to me, that as I grew up and formed my lifestyle, that I always carved out time to help people in need, or people that just needed a helping hand for something, you know, minor. I try to accommodate everybody. Maybe to a fault, I've not been a guy who could say no down through the years, because I don't want to disappoint anybody or make anybody mad. And, of course, when you're the voice of the Hawkeyes, there's some responsibility there, too, as I travel around the state doing fundraisers and dinners and charitable golf outings. It's important. Now, it does wear on you in terms of time you're able to spend at home with your wife and family, but they understand that this is what I do. This is what I chose in terms of a vocation, and do it for a few more years, and then, you know, some other young lad or lady will be the new voice of the Hawkeyes, and then I can continue to do some charitable and civic endeavors in the Dubuque-Land area.
I love that you use the word vocation, you know, that we don't want to be so kind of narrow, you know, Catholics particularly, you know, maybe more traditional, just kind of think of priesthood, religious life and things, but the vocation,
sure.
And as a man in the public eye, you know.
Well, you know how important the lay workers and deacons are to our cause in the Catholic Church, so it's you're spot on, Bishop.
Well, they're heart of it all, so... I don't want to be indelicate, but I did laugh when I was at a fundraiser with you in recent months. I think it was over the summer or something, and you kind of made a joke on yourself. And you said it was nice to get back behind a microphone. last year had some interesting speed bumps for you, in a way.
Yeah.
Any thoughts and reflection on that?
Well, certainly. Obviously, I've thought a lot about it since I was suspended twice. The first one was a hot mic, and it was the Iowa fan that got away from me, and not the what should have been a professional broadcaster, and I didn't blame the engineer. I didn't blame the young lad who failed to turn the microphone off during commercial break. And I'm just thankful that what I said. And obviously, I would never mean anything personal. I haven't criticized a kid in college or high school in the 46 years I've been doing this. But it got out there, and I owned up to it, and I took the blame for that and paid the price. It was a two-game suspension. And then the incident in late February, of course, with Bruno Fernando of Maryland, I thought I was paying him the supreme ultimate compliment. And I think it was largely a byproduct of growing up in the 50s and the 60s when all these iconic, mythical, monster-type figures were everything to kids. Mm-hmm. Not unlike Star Wars today, or the Green Hornet, Godzilla, all those.
Don't leave out Batman. Don't leave out Batman.
Yeah, Batman. There you go. Batman's been done over a lot, made over a lot. So I had a hard time trying to put the puzzle together on that one, but I understand with social media being what it is and how the world has changed, I finally, obviously I prayed a lot about it, and I finally said, okay, you know, what do we need to do to move forward and get away from this? And obviously I had a lot of support from folks like you and the Iowa fan base, and that got me through it. And I was very disappointed with the indefinite suspension. There were maybe half a dozen games left in the season, but I didn't look over my shoulder. I just went straight ahead and plotted the future. And at 67 years old, you're wondering if they're going to welcome you back. But I got to tell you, of course, Coach Ferentz has been a good friend for a lot of years. But I got to tell you that Athletic Director Gary Barta and particularly Fran McCaffrey, Head Coach McCaffrey, have been just stupendous. They've been great. They've been very charitable and welcoming back not only to the university but to the basketball program. And we're a third of the way through the season now, and everything's going good. So if you just mind your P's and Q's, as they say, and whatever the problem is, face it head on and get it fixed and then move on, everything works out for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have a movement here in the Des Moines metro area, the Man Up movement, and I guess I really felt like you were very mature and you kind of owned up to all that had happened. And again, as you said, you know, we're all on the way, you know, and that we make mistakes, and that we take responsibility for that. And
as you know, when you're a public figure, and I'm not saying the voice of the Hawkeyes is equal to the Bishop of Des Moines, pretty close, but not.
I think you might have a larger following. I think.
Let me put it this way.
Your geographic region extends farther than mine.
anytime I can help you out, William, you let me know. I think when you're a public figure, you have to balance that with everything else you do and understand that. I'm sitting there behind a microphone. I'm worried about the basketball, the football game that's laying out in front of us. I don't visualize, upwards of 500,000 to a million people tuning in and out to an Iowa broadcast every 15 or 20 minutes. And so I'm in better touch with exactly how you can be influential by what you say or how you act. So it's not that I didn't think before I spoke in the past, but people may not realize when you're doing a play-by-play, live play-by-play broadcast, you're not working off a script. You're calling it as you see it, and you try to be complimentary to players, and sometimes issues like that pop up. I'm certainly not the first one that has been bitten by that, and we're such a scrutinizing society, or at least a part of us are today, that you take it with a grain of salt. I think people mean well for the most part, and mm-hmm. If you got good employers and you got the good Lord on your side, hopefully things work out.
Yeah. Well, and that passion that people love, and I think about my dear Catholic mother, Marilyn Johnson, and if she's mm-hmm. listening or not, I don't know, but I won't
sure
throw her
is.
Under the bus here. But if we're watching the Cyclones, and I might hope for a little bit more from a particular player, and that comes up, well, then she's right on my case, I have no right to do that, to criticize some, but then when she reserves that prerogative to herself sometimes too, so. So it's funny what goes on. And I think we were both in the house last week at Hilton Coliseum. I was fortunate to be invited. First time back in a long time, though our family had tickets. Season tickets were about 40-some years there, but sending us to Jamie Pollard. But the house got pretty quiet very quickly. Ram McCaffrey's guys, they kind of put a whooping on the Cyclones and kind of took the air out of Hilton there.
By the way, I was surprised and disappointed, extremely disappointed that you didn't stop by for your every other year visit with the Hawkeye Radio Network crew. But I figured you were a little bit preoccupied with this new lofty title of as the Bishop of Des Moines, so I gave you a pass on that. But don't forget where you came from now, even though you came from Ames.
No,
but you're right.
I'll consider myself absolved. It was only venial, but next time it would be more mortal if I diss you, Gary. And again, I was just looking at the crowd, and you know, Jamie Pollard's there, and you know, to go say I'm going to go see Dolph here. So no, he
that
would
probably
be,
wouldn't have gone over.
He'd be in favor of that. So Hawkeye, Hawkeye Nation's lost a couple, stars, you know, the luminaries in Hawkeye history, Bump Elliott and Hayden Fry. And again, just some thoughts there. And now they both know whether there's any beer in heaven, I guess, you know.
they're doing, hopefully, the Hokey Pokey. And I don't know about the beer in heaven, but heaven is a great place from what you and everybody else has told me over the years. So hopefully there's a refreshment or two when we get there. If we get there someday, hopefully we will. But no, you're right, Hayden, working in reverse order, there's no doubt in my mind that Bump Elliott's passing a couple weeks back would have had a profound effect on Hayden. And he was mentally sharp right up until the very end. He had battled a variety of cancers ever since he left Iowa in 1998. And he's a tough old Texan, and he battled and battled and battled, and he poured a lot, packed a lot in the end of the 90 years that he was here on this earth. And Bump was 94, and so they certainly got a lot accomplished. But I don't know, you know, after you get to know Hayden, you can see what Bump Elliott saw in him, that he needed a little sizzle to sell. And honestly, I thought about Hayden a lot this week, along with Johnny Orr. Because Johnny Orr worked similar miracles with the Iowa State basketball program when he got there back in the 80s. And two characters very similar, come from different walks of life. But from the people I've talked to in Texas this week, Coach Fry was ready. He was a trooper right to the very end. Hospice did a wonderful job with him. I know that's close to your heart, Bishop.
Amen.
Bill, and
amen.
And with Bump, Bump had been failing for some time physically. I mean, at 94, not everything's working at 94, but Bump was such a class act. Not only was he a great administrator, but he was a great, great coach, a great athlete.
Dolph, I'm sorry that we've kind of reached our time here, and you know what that's like, so meeting those barriers, but you've been so generous with us, and thank you, and thanks for keeping the friendship alive, you know, as God continues to lead us. Maybe you have a graced 2020, and may the Hawks flourish here. Happy road trip.
Happy holidays. God bless everybody in Des Moines, and look forward to seeing you in the capital city, Bill, the next time I get there.
Definitely. All right, peace.
Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick break.
Impoverished children break everyone's heart, but poverty seems like such a big problem. What can one person do to make a difference? For 17 years, Blessman International's passion has been to connect the resources of our donors with sustainable programs that impact the lives of impoverished children in South Africa. Our donors are feeding thousands of hungry children every week, providing basic water and sanitation for impoverished communities, and sharing the love of God in practical ways every day. Go to www.blessmaninternational.org and make your donation today.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Together, be forever near me.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. Great interview.
It was. Dolph is he's a true gentleman, and he was giving us his time there, fitting us in that way. So I hope he didn't miss his bus, you know. So because you have to be careful. I understand a drone crashed in Iowa City yesterday,
you never
know what might fall out of the sky here. You got to get to safety here. So, but no, and I think. A true man of faith, and I know at different Holy Week services and things, you'd look around and there's Dolph, part of the worshiping community, and I think he just really shows how to integrate the personal faith with the public generosity and spirit of fraternity and love, that even he'd give a cyclone the time, you know, in this way. So, Kelly, you know, I know you have some cyclone bloodlines and everything else, but did you go to the dark side? Were you
I got my bachelor's degree from Iowa State, and then I got my master's degree from University of Iowa.
Well,
but go Clones, go State, all the way.
Okay. Well, and again, I think people know my Iowa State background, but those 2 years in Iowa City were pivotal for me, and a lot of grace there. The old St. Patrick's Church, it was a place where I'd often go, for First Fridays and things like that. But obviously, the new St. Patrick's community on the east side as well. So, so we're appreciative of that. Culturally, things that are going on. What do you got for us today?
Well, always around this time of year, it's always nice to hear heartwarming stories about different people who have helped others in need. So there's a story out of Pensacola, Florida, where an individual anonymously paid off 36 random families who had past due utility bills. And then there's another story out of Alabama, where an anonymous donor paid off of $70,000 of layaways at Walmart. So that was very heartwarming.
Was it one person's layaways, or was it many people?
I think it was many.
Okay.
And speaking of Christmas, a little birdie actually told me what your favorite Christmas song is, and Jimmy's got it queued up.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
This is almost profane.
I can see why this is your favorite. I can really truly understand why.
If they include this in Lessons and Carols on Sunday, I'm walking out.
Don't be bashful. It's okay. You don't have to be embarrassed.
Yeah, even talking to my brothers again.
This is all me.
Yeah. Well, confessions are being heard.
I do need to go yet. Yes. Okay. So there we go.
Okay. Oh, that's excellent. So, any other cultural tidbit?
Yeah, well, I know I'm probably more into Star Wars right now than you are, but The Rise of the Skywalker just opened last night. And there's a special drink you can get at Starbucks. It's called the Chewbacca Frappuccino. Apparently some...
Jimmy's on a roll this morning.
We're working in tandem here.
Well,
so,
I was not among those queued up last night, but I know my niece Olivia and nephew Michael and their dad, my brother Tom, were there. So I haven't gotten their reviews yet, but
I'd like to know because we're going to go Sunday, I think.
Yeah. So, again, we wish everyone a grace-filled, not just Christmas feast, but to extend through the whole octave, and that they could experience Christmas as the church proposes it to us and really absorb the mystery in a beautiful way.
All right. This has been another edition of Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson.
You can hear Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson every week on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.